This is Cam.
And I'm Jen.
And you're listening to
Our True Crime Podcast.
This is Edward October, and I'm here with my friend, Rollo, the Devil Doll. You see, I must explain. Like all demonic ventriloquist dummies, Rollo has a problem with swearing. Rollo, stop it. We're here to tell everyone that Our True Crime Podcast may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Because they're so filthy.
Rollo, it's not that. Jen and Cam would like us to remind everyone that they discuss subject matter that may be disturbing to some listeners, especially children.
Oh, your mother.
Listener discretion is advised.
Do you or someone you know struggle through life with anxiety-related mental disorders? Ever get that feeling that you are one of the few? I'm here to tell you that you are not alone. Take a journey with me as I talk about key points in my past and how they may have led to me being diagnosed with anxiety and panic disorder. After which, we will talk about different ways to tone down the anxiety and maybe even beat it together on Anxinity. The easiest way to remember the name is by thinking about how one searches for a state of zen in the midst of the anxieties of life. My name is Gerald, and I'm the host of Anxinity.
Hi, Jen.
Hey, Cam, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Into the swing of things. Yes. I got you. I got you. I know what you're saying. It's a Sunday morning, a little early.
We've got a contest to announce.
Oh.
But before we do the contest, I want to do a couple shout outs.
Okay, yes.
And I know some people don't like a little chatter before, but it's kind of important to us that we acknowledge everybody that has come in contact with us, left us good reviews, all that kind of stuff. First of all, I'd like to say a huge thank you to Edmi. I think that's how you pronounce your name. As you all remember, I really am bad with names. Edmi is so great. She always gives us shout outs every time somebody asks for podcast recommendations.
Yay,
go Edmi. Also, Charity. Charity's a new follower. Love her. She's so sweet. She's got the cutest little kitties.
Aw.
Really cute little meow. Gray, like your Inkies.
Aww.
Yeah, really cute. Then there's also Ms. Gags. She's been following us for a while.
Yeah.
She's a true crime fighter.
Yes.
Love her. Lindsay B. Lindsay B. follows us on Facebook, I believe. Thanks, Lindsay B. And there's also Elise L. She reached out to us through Twitter, DM'd us about the Fisher
case, Sergey. Yes.
And she like suggested that he could have been molested, which is not.
Outside of the, I would agree with that, actually.
I would too. Yeah. Smart cookie there. And also, Sociliani, I believe that's how it's pronounced. Once again,
sounds good to me.
Names, don't know. She left us a great 5-star review, and she also says she follows us on Twitter and says we're a hoot, but we need to know who you are. Give us a shout out. Say, hey, it's me, Sociliani, and let us know who you are. Love to hear from you. And then real quick,
yes,
there's two podcasts that are coming out that I'm excited for.
Ooh.
They're our friends. One is coming out, Naptime Nancy podcast.
Naptime Nancy.
And that's Naptime Nancy Drew. You can follow her on Twitter. She is awesome. And another one, just going into editing now, is Crime Shark.
Crime Shark.
Not sure when their drop dates are, but we will let you know.
Oh, that's so exciting.
I know. They're going to be good podcasts.
Yeah, they are.
But these are two I'm really looking forward to, so.
It's okay. I hear you have a little something else that you want to announce.
You're pregnant.
No. No, thank God. No. Beep, beep. Wrong.
Our caption contest?
Yes.
Yes, we're going to have a caption contest.
Who doesn't like free stuff?
We're giving away 10 t-shirts that say Our True Crime Podcast.
Our True Crime Podcast t-shirts.
Woo-hoo!
And you get to pick the size and the color.
And the colors will be navy, which actually looks really cool, black, white, and light gray.
Yes.
Personally, I like the navy and the black the best. But to each their own.
I like the gray.
Okay, so the caption contest. After this episode drops, which is going to be February 6th.
This Wednesday.
Or today, if you're listening. we are going to post the picture, and it will be posted on Twitter, on ourtruecrimepodcast.com, our blog, and it will be posted on Facebook. You can enter as many times as you like, as many captions as you like, but you can only win once. We have 10 t-shirts to give away.
Woohoo!
We will ship them to wherever you are. If you're in Estonia, we will ship to Estonia.
We're big in Estonia.
If we are in Iceland, we are going to ship to Iceland. Sweden, same. We don't care. Antarctica, damn it, we're going to ship it there.
That would be awesome,
It would be. It would. Totally dig that. Not afraid of international. Give it to us, babies. We're going to start it on the 6th, this Wednesday. We are going to close it out on that Saturday night at 11 p.m. Central Time.
You'll be up then, because I won't be.
I will be
up. I will be sound asleep for 3 hours by that time.
And then we will announce the 10 winners. Did you hear that? 10 winners.
10.
February 13th. And then those winners will have until that the Thursday, or that's our next episode when it drops. And then the winners will have until that Friday to give us the size and color that they want, and we will order it. They're so super soft.
Yes.
Love them. So great. Humani Machini. I don't know. It's Latin. It looks like Humani Machina.
Human machine. But yeah. Yeah.
Right. He did the logo, and he's got the shirts for us, and great job. Totally love him. If you guys need any work done, go to him. Mm-hmm. Contact us if you need the information. So we have those 10 free shirts to give away. Now we have another thing we're going to do. I personally am going to hold a contest. Me. Andy J., our friend, said that we need to get a name for our listeners. I know the Grave Girls have the Gravies. My Favorite Murder has the Murderinos. So we need your help thinking of the name. We will run a contest. Think of a name for us, and whoever comes up with the name that everybody likes, I will buy them a t-shirt.
Well, that's nice of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw my Twitter post about cheese bags. See you later, cheese, or stay fresh, cheese bags. That was funny. But Camille didn't really think that we should buy you cheese bags.
It's funny, but yeah. You know, no. If we did a podcast on cheese, it would mean a lot.
Totally be that, yeah.
Right.
So you guys come up with something fun to call our listener base, and whoever comes up with a great name, we will send you a t-shirt.
And you can pick the size and the color, too.
And you can pick the size and the color, too.
It's not one of those leftover ones in the basement where you're going to get the extra, extra small.
No.
You know?
Here we go. We'll start that on Wednesday and to Sunday also.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
It is.
It's exciting we have merch.
It is. We should be wearing this stuff every single day, everywhere we go.
I agree. I totally concur.
Free advertisement.
Yeah, that's pretty sucks. So anyway, I'm sorry to take up most of your time. I know no one likes the talk at the beginning, but this was kind of what we needed to do, and we will get on with our regular scheduled podcast. So, Cam.
Yes, Jen.
Exciting true crime do you have for us today?
So the case we're going to talk about today is not so much the crime aspect, but more the punishment aspect.
Ooh, punishment.
I watched a documentary this morning on HBO called The Sentence. Highly recommend it. It was sad, and it got me thinking, and it goes perfectly with this case, actually. Uh-huh. And it's a case that you've heard of. You might not know the background or all the details, but you've definitely heard of it, and as most people have, I believe.
Right.
In 2007, Jennifer Mee was just an ordinary girl from Florida when, at 15 years old, she rose to fame as the hiccup girl.
Oh, I know this one.
Mee started hiccuping one day and couldn't stop. Her condition went on for 5 full weeks, day and night. Jennifer, alongside her family, appeared on various TV news shows and talk shows. They were trying to get somebody to offer some help or relief to poor Jennifer. So Jennifer, being a young girl with such a unusual condition, sort of became a celeb. You know how much America loves to make stars out of nothing. Then on March 1st, 2007, the hiccuping just stopped. And with it, the sudden fame slowly faded as well. Appearances on the Colbert Report show, as well as Larry King, had to be canceled. The young girl would disappear into the vastness that is old news. The next human interest story would soon hit and be the next big thing.
15 minutes are up.
However, the 15 minutes of fame would not disappear quietly, as so often is the case, but come around again. In 2013, Jennifer Mee would once again make headlines, but for very different reasons.
I have a free call from
Jennifer Mee,
an inmate at Pinellas County Jail.
Hi, Mama.
Hello, Jennifer. What's going on?
I'm in jail.
Why are you in jail?
For murder in the first degree.
Who'd you kill?
I ain't killed nobody.
Well, then how are they charging you with murder?
Because I set everything up.
Who are you trying to kill, Jennifer?
Nobody. It wasn't even supposed to happen like that, Mom. Mom.
Go.
I'll call you when I can because I gotta go. Mommy, try to make visitation, please.
All right, Jennifer, I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
Jennifer Mee, formerly known as the Hiccup Girl, is sitting in prison. She is serving time for murder in the first degree of 22-year-old Shannon Griffin. Griffin had recently moved to Florida from Mississippi. He had moved there because Katrina had ravaged that area, if you remember.
Oh, the Hurricane Katrina.
Yes, Katrina the Hurricane. I'm sorry.
Not just some chick named Katrina.
No. Well, she probably did her damage, sure, but that's another story.
What's your damage, Katrina? Doesn't have the same ring.
No, it sure does not. So Shannon and his family, they were looking for a better way of life. He was a talented athlete, good-looking kid, star football player. So Griffin was led to believe he was going on a date with the famous Hiccup Girl, Jennifer Mee. Now, he knew her from her media appearances as the Hiccup Girl. She'd kind of gotten a little fame, as I'd stated earlier.
Right.
Jennifer and her friends slash accomplices are two men, LaRon Rayford, aged 20, and Lamont Newton, age 22.
Laurent and Lamont?
LaRon and Lamont.
Okay.
That evening, Shannon tells his family that he has a date, and her name is Jennifer Mee, and she is the famous Hiccup Girl. His family said that he got all dressed up. He was dressed to the nines. He looked very nice because he was going on a date. Now, Jennifer maintains she had never heard or believed that was the case, but rather Shannon was coming to buy weed, and they were setting that up, the weed buy. So Jennifer thinks that he is coming to buy weed, little drug interaction. Shannon believes he's going on a date. On that fateful night, Jennifer Mee contacted Shannon Griffin with the sole purpose to lure him to St. Petersburg so that Jennifer, LaRon Rayford, and Lamont Newton could pretend to conduct a drug transaction. But in reality, they were going to rob Griffin of his money and not deliver the drugs. That was the plan.
Okay. But she didn't know that plan.
No, she knew that plan.
She knew the robbery part.
Yes, which is very important later on.
Okay.
Shannon Griffin rides his bike to a house in which they had agreed to meet at, and the house happened to be for sale, so it was vacant. Nobody lived there. Jennifer meets him in front of the house, and they proceed to go to the alleyway on the side of the house to venture into the back. Now, that is where they would be greeted by LaRon and Lamont. The perpetrators did not quite realize what they were up against. Griffin was an athlete. He was really strong, and he was not going to go down without a fight. The evidence would later reveal that the beginning of the fight had Griffin with the upper hand. He was winning. So the perpetrators wanted that control back, and they started to panic. One of them pulled out a gun. During her first police interview, she left out a very important detail. As police questioned her, claimed that LaRon found out that Griffin was having relations with LaRon's girlfriend. At this point, Jennifer states that LaRon was furious and pulled out a gun from his backpack. LaRon grabbed Griffin, choked him, and put the gun to Griffin's head. He drug Griffin to the back of the house and shot and killed him. That's the story she first came out with.
Okay. So that was her excuse on why the gun was pulled. It was because Griffin was supposedly sleeping with LaRon.
LaRon?
LaRon's
girlfriend. Correct.
Okay.
It was later established that Jennifer had given two different stories to police.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it would affect her sentencing. In the first story, Jennifer claims that the victim, Griffin, was part of a love triangle gone wrong, which is what we just stated. In the second story, it was a drug transaction gone wrong. there's the truth, and then there is the truth that would change the murder circumstances, the sentencing, and then Jennifer's life. So the one thing that Jennifer never mentioned was that the threesome had planned to rob Griffin. Now, social media is how Griffin found Jennifer. Jennifer is the one that lured him to the location with a promise, whether it be a date or drugs, that's really incidental. But the robbery and the death that resulted in the robbery changed everything. If it would have been LaRon getting upset with him and killing him, that would be sort of a crime of passion. It'd be different. If it was simply a drug transaction that went wrong, like they were going to exchange drugs and,
right.
I mean, on the up and up as you can with drugs. However, she admitted to police that they were going to rob him. That changes everything. Here's the thing. In Florida, if you're involved in a crime such as robbery and the victim dies during the commencement of the robbery, mm-hmm. you will be charged with murder regardless if you were the one that pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
After Griffin was killed and the three roommates were arrested, police found Griffin's wallet, work ID, and other items in the apartment where me and the others had gone to stay. Me's fingerprints were found on Griffin's driver's license.
So I'm assuming that once Griffin didn't come home, his parents said he had a date with Jennifer Mee, the hiccup girl, and that's how the police were led to her, correct?
They knew. I mean, he right, did tell them, so I'm assuming that's how yeah. it went. Just really stupid on their part. But like I said, I don't think that they planned to kill him.
No, they didn't.
She supposedly, Jennifer didn't even know he had a gun, but I don't know if I believe that. But anyway, the burden on the court is now not to prove Jennifer knew that there was going to be a homicide, but if she knew there was going to be a robbery. So let's take a look back at the initial phone call that we played at the top of the show okay. from Jennifer to her mother.
Okay.
I have a free call from
Jennifer Mee,
an inmate at Pinellas County Jail.
Hi, Mama.
Hello, Jennifer. What's going on?
I'm in jail.
Why are you in jail?
For murder in the first degree.
Who'd you kill?
I ain't killed nobody.
Well, then how are they charging you with murder?
Because I set everything up.
Who are you trying to kill, Jennifer?
Nobody. It wasn't even supposed to happen like that, Mom. Mom,
go.
I'll call you when I can because I gotta go. Mommy, try to make visitation, please.
All right, Jennifer, I love you.
I love you too, Mom.
Before the trial began, defense attorney John Trevena stated that Jennifer was schizophrenic and could not stand trial. The judge appointed that she be evaluated.
Right.
She was, and it came back that she could, in fact, stand trial.
That she was not.
She was competent. Trevena then claimed that Mee suffered from a condition that played a role in this murder. He said that she suffered from Tourette syndrome, and that's why she had the hiccuping.
When the Tourette syndrome came and they wouldn't let that fly, did he say that she had cramps
yes.
to get her out of it?
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, that's just excuse. I mean, mm-hmm. you would think after a while the judge would just say,
mm-hmm.
she's going to prison because you're a dipshit.
Well, then, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's ridiculous. Stop making excuses.
He's a cheese bomb. Prosecutors Jan Olney and Christopher Labruzzo circled back to the same phrase. She sat it all up. She mm-hmm. set it up. So we go back to the defense attorney, Trevena. He brings up that Mee's first interview with police, Mee claimed her roommate, LaRon Rayford, killed Griffin because he thought there was a love triangle involving his girlfriend and Griffin. Trevena said this account was backed up by other evidence. A condom wrapper with Rayford's DNA was found at the scene. Griffin's pants were pulled down. Before going out, Griffin had told a relative he was going out on a date and he put on cologne. Prosecutor Labruzzo said the condom wrapper could have been present because Rayford had a previous encounter there. Trevena, the defense attorney, said his client wasn't the type who could orchestrate such a plan, saying, we're not dealing with a mastermind here. So he's calling us. He's saying,
well,
Jennifer couldn't
true.
Set all that up.
Yeah.
And it's,
it's.
But those guys knew that that house was empty. They knew that backyard was there. They knew that alleyway was there. Very conceivable could they have went back there and had sex.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, prosecutor only interjects and says that the prosecutors never, in fact, called me a mastermind and states Jennifer Mee participated and she participated in this fashion. She was the bait that lured Shannon Griffin to a back alley that was dark, where two of her cohorts waited. And that is why Shannon Griffin is not with us any longer. So at this point, the jury hears from a defense witness. Her name is Jennifer Sharon. She used to live with Jennifer Mee, as well as the two other defendants, LaRon and Lamont. Now, of those four roommates, Sharon is the only one not charged with murdering Griffin. Jennifer Sharon is also the only one that could testify in the trial with what she claimed was firsthand knowledge of the events just before and just after the murder. Sharon said she had been working during the day, and when she returned home, the four of them were planning to go see the movie Paranormal Activity. But first, the others said that they were going out to get some money. They eventually left. Mee was the first to come back, out of breath, panicked, and saying she had heard gunshots. Then LaRon Rayford came back to the apartment. He was distraught, looking as if he had been in a fight. He said that the other man, Lamont Newton, had been shot, but he wasn't right. In a few minutes after stating that, Lamont Newton walked in the door, and he said somebody else was the one that had been shot. And that person was Shannon Griffin, the victim. During the course of slightly over an hour of closing arguments, prosecutors Olney and Labruzzo circled back to the same phrase, she set it all up. In fact, Labruzzo began his closing by playing the recording for the jurors again. Mee's words were so powerful that the prosecutor said, our star witness is Jennifer Mee.
Huh.
Prosecutors
telling on herself.
Prosecutors did not claim Mee set out to kill someone. In fact, Labruzzo said, I'm sure she didn't intend for there to be murder in this case. Jurors spent about 4 hours deliberating. Some jurors even cried as the verdict was read, but all 12 jurors agreed on one thing. Jennifer Mee, once known as the Hiccup Girl, is guilty of first-degree murder. Mm-hmm. Mee, she's 22 years old at this time, burst into tears as the circuit judge gave her the only possible legal sentence, which is life in prison with no possibility of parole. Doug Bolden, who was a cousin of the victim, Shannon Griffin, stated, it's a victory, but there are no winners, which is very true. After waiting nearly 3 years, it felt surreal to finally hear the verdict. Mee's mother, Rachel Rabideau, who attended all the trial, had no comment afterward. So Jennifer maintains that she took Shannon there for a beat up, and for her accomplices to take his money. She left the area upon delivering Griffin to the other men, claiming she had no idea he was shot and killed until she was arrested. Rayford and Newton have also been convicted of murder in the case, and each was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, just like her. Jennifer went to prison in her early 20s. This came about when she was 22, and she'll spend the rest of her life in prison, even though she didn't pull the trigger. She wasn't in the location when it happened, and claimed she didn't even realize he was going to be killed, or that he had in fact been killed, until she was arrested. So do you believe her fame played a role in this harsh punishment, sort of like the state of Florida made an example out of her? Her attorney maintains that that's exactly what happened, that if she was just a regular girl, she would never have received such a harsh statement. So this got me curious. So I wanted to go look at some other women that were serving life without parole in Florida and what crimes they did. So I gathered these three just to kind of compare, but we can talk about it. Melissa Pocopani was convicted of principal to second degree murder and 2 counts of attempted murder. Authorities say she was a passenger in a car that was driven by Kahim Johnson. They drove the car down Milton Street in February of 2017, where Diedrich Davis and Walter Ford began firing shots into a crowd. Thomas Buckhalter was killed, and 2 other people were wounded. She was sentenced to life in prison for letting her car be used in a drive-by shooting. She was in the car. It was her car.
But did she know that they were going to do this?
It doesn't matter. She let them use her car. She was in the car with them.
Right.
So it's the same thing with Jennifer.
Right.
She was there. She was present. It happened, regardless if she knew it was going to happen or not. It happened. Just like Jennifer knew that that guy was going to be robbed, but she didn't know he was going to be killed.
Well, if...
I got 2 more.
Okay.
Jennifer Rose Trent was convicted of first-degree murder, organized fraud, and using the identification of a deceased person. Authorities say 70-year-old Doris Johnson was killed in January 2015 after allowing Trent and her 7-year-old son to move in to her home. Investigators say Trent struck Johnson in the back of the head and left her in the laundry room shed for several days before suffocating the older woman with a plastic trash bag. Police began investigating after the victim's son could not reach her, and Trent told them that the mother had gone to Chicago. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole. Adriana Hudo was a 7-year-old American girl who lived in Esto, Florida. On August 8, 2007, Adriana's mother, Amanda Lewis, made a 911 call stating that she had found her daughter in the family's pool and she was not breathing. Emergency personnel rushed Adriana to the nearby hospital, Bay Medical, where she was pronounced dead about an hour after arrival. The death was initially treated as an accident until Adriana's half-brother, AJ, who was 6 years old, came forward and told police that he had witnessed his mother dunk Adriana in the pool as a form of corporal punishment. She was sentenced to life in prison without parole. So I just wanted to kind of compare those.
Well, Trent,
who killed the older lady,
she killed and mm-hmm. then forged documents. So mm-hmm. that's... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other one was an accidental death, but with
corporal punishment
on her children, which is illegal, ending in the death.
And then the drive-by shooting.
Drive-by shooting. That depends on if she knew that there was going to be a drive-by shooting, if she knew that they were going to start a fight, or if they knew, you know what I mean? If she was driving and it's
she
like,
wasn't driving. She was a passenger. She let them drive her car, but she was in the car.
If it was like totally, like if I would take you out right now
mm-hmm.
and then we'd go rob a bank and somebody would be dead before it and you had no prior warning about it,
mm-hmm.
no, you shouldn't be charged. But if there was any kind of prior
in the state
setup,
of Florida, though, I would be charged because it was a robbery and somebody died during the commencement of a robbery, regardless of if I pulled the trigger.
Do you know what the law is? What
that's
statute
it.
Of the law?
No, I don't know the statute number, but that's the whole thing because he died during a robbery. If it was an accidental death, if they weren't going to rob him, like say, for instance, she was having sex with him and they caught her and like her boyfriend caught her and shot him. I mean, it would be, it's different. He died during the commencement of a robbery. That's my whole point. My whole point is I think that the life imprisonment she got, she did kill somebody, but I'm not so sure it should be life in prison for her. The robbery and the death that resulted in that robbery changes everything. In Florida, if you are involved in a crime, such as a robbery, and the victim dies, everyone can be charged with murder regardless. Everyone can be charged with murder regardless if they were the one that pulled the trigger. And that's the point. Like, I think her punishment was a little steep. That's all. He lost his life. I mean, somebody needs to pay, but life imprisonment for a 22-year-old?
Go ahead, close us out.
As always. No, mm-hmm. you're the closer.
If you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at Twitter at Our True Crime Pod. Also, we have a blog, ourtruecrimepodcast.com. You can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, any place that you like to listen to your podcasts. We are there. If not, shout us out and we will get that fixed. And also there is a Facebook page that you guys can join in for discussion or whatnot. Everybody on there seems very shy. So don't be shy.
I don't know. Maybe they just don't do Facebook. I think.
Oh, we've got a lot of Facebook people.
Do we?
I just.
Hmm.
Nobody just comments or anything like that. But other than that, that's it.
I guess like what would they say? That they like the show? I'm trying to
no,
think.
No, you could post, crimes that you think that happened in your area. You can post census, anything you want. You could just post to say, hey guys,
it's
what's
me.
Up?
It's me. Hey, what's up?
Hey, look at this fancy food I just made. Or, hey, I went shopping. Look what I bought.
Look at the
dessert. Post whatever you want.
Look at my dessert.
Yeah, exactly. Post anything you want on our Facebook page, as long as it's, you know, not mean to anybody or us.
I hate Cam. I love Jen, but Cam just weighing in. It's so annoying.
You're scared about that.
Oh, well, of course I am.
I'm not. I don't care. There's going to be people that like you better than me, and there's people that like me better than you.
Yeah, but it's not that. It's the cruel things that they say. Like, Cam is as smart as a box of rocks. Tell her to shut up. You know, they said that about you-know-who.
Yeah, well, that happens. Whatever. That's part of it.
Yeah, I guess.
But... You know,
good thing in my supermodel career is about to take off, so I don't need to worry about it.
I like where you live. It's a fun place.
It really is. It's great. I love it. All right. Is that it? Did you do everything?
I think so.
Okay. So remember to lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
All right. I'm going to take, you ready to go?
I'm ready.
SpongeBob. All right. It's okay. Give me a little time to get to do this. It takes me some time to warm up a little bit, you know.
I can look at you now, right? You're not going to yell at me for looking at you?
Shut up.
Okay.
It's when you make noises. Shut up. This is when you give me the look, the funny look, you know. Yeah, like that. I hate you.
Pronunciate. Exactly. And I wanted to say, you motherfuckers, you try it.
Yeah, it's harder than you think. Mm-hmm. It's bikini weather today after last week squirrels were falling dead out of trees because they were frozen.
Yay.
Welcome to Missouri.
Boo for squirrels, but yay for 65 degrees.
This one's weird.
Yeah, I know. My daughter wants to go to the park, but before that, she's got to clean the house.
That means it's never going to happen.
I will not go to the park. And I'll never have a clean house. Best relief for hiccups.
Well, this was day and night, so it doesn't... It's different.
I know, but... If you're ever at a bar and you get the hiccups, you get a slice of lemon, put a little sugar on it, then you put bitters on the sugar, and then you suck on it, and it disappears. Just FYI.
Thank you.
Little bar
life hack.
Knowledge.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Freshens your breath, too.
Mm-hmm. Did you like my intro?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote all that.
That's very nice.
I liked it.
That's very nice.
Thanks. I like that Jennifer Mee would once again make headlines, but for very different reasons.
Wow. She was kind of cute, too, right? Not really?
She's a lot cuter now, but she's got this big neck tattoo. She's a lot cuter. So Griffin was a talented athlete, a star football player. He was a good-looking kid.
You can put that out, too.
I'm going to. That's why I went back. Now I got to do it again. At least they're not Russian names.
No, I know, but I'm just...
Laron.
Laron and Lamont.
Yep.
At first I thought you put Laurent. That's like Orangello and Mirangelo.
No. Laron and Lamont.
Okay. Gotcha.
That evening, Shannon.
Okay. Well, I just...
Because we don't know that yet. You're not supposed to know that yet because then she backtracks and says that it was... Well, you'll see.
Okay.
Where did I say that? I'm going to redo the whole thing because I used his last name the whole way, which is what you're supposed to do.
Unless you can't pronounce the last name.
That's true.
I always use the first name because it's like we're friends.
I don't really know. I don't really think I've said that, but I'm not sure.
Good investigative report.
Well, because you need to look into the... This is where we're... So... So as the trial began,
fresh cheese bags.
You like that, don't you?
I do. I love it.
Oh, funny. Gina said this account was backed up by the other evidence. There was a condom wrapper with Rayford's DNA.
But you stumbled on other. I'm sorry, I can't. You're saying me. Well, me claimed that blah, blah, blah. And well, it sounds like you're...
I know. Yeah. Should I say Jennifer Mee? Would that be better?
Maybe.
Okay.
But then you have to go back and change all the other stuff. So just go say me.
It'd be better if it was me, but it is me.
I know.
That's why they get paid, I guess.
No, but then that's what put her in prison.
I'm telling you, he's a ding-dong. Anyway. And that is why Shannon Griffin is no longer with us. I said that wrong. I gotta say that again. This is where we debate, but see, they might not like our dribble. But I kind of like this because I get you thinking, right? Yeah. Newton. Wait, what's her name? Laron and Lamont. What was it? Because I'm trying to go back to what you said.
Laron and Lamont. Laurangelo and Yurangelo.
So at this point, the jury... I can't laugh. Hold on. So at this point, the...
To their defendants?
Yeah, wasn't it Laron and Lamont?
Laron and Lamont.
What? With what she... She also is the only one who could testify in the trial with what was said firsthand. She is also the only one that could testify in the trial with what she said was first.
Testify in the trial?
Did I say testify? There's a lot of reading today, Jen. Narn. In the word. At least I didn't say testy.
I know,
testy in the trial.
I thought you were going to say it first.
Then Rayford. Is that Lamont? What's his name? Remember. Not Rayford. That's Lamont. Laron, right? Laron. And it's Laron Rayford. Yeah, okay, sorry.